What a beautiful morning we have had, and wonderful Lord's Day that we can gather together today to worship our God. And it already has been a wonderful worship service. I was thinking as we were going through the songs that I couldn't have picked out any better thoughts to prepare our hearts and our minds for what we're going to be talking about in our lesson this morning. I want to talk with you about what I've entitled Enduring Things. And we've been reading about, actually even our reading talked about how flesh is as grass and it passes away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. We'll be talking about that. We've been singing about the love of God and how it endures, and heaven itself, the home that we focus on. So our thoughts already have been very well directed toward the lesson that I want to study with you for the next several moments about. I want us to concentrate and think about what is said, first of all, in Proverbs 8 and verse 18 to begin. He said, "Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness." There's a big difference between earthly riches and enduring riches. And that's what we want to think about. Things that are enduring or everlasting. Let me ask you a question that I'd like you to think about. When you are gone from this world, and one day you will be, all of us will be, for what will you be remembered? And for how long? How long will your memory endure? And for what? What did you do in 2019 that will endure? You know, we are on the beginnings of a brand new year, 2020, a new decade. 2019 is gone. What did you use it for that will endure or that will really last? And furthermore, what will you do in 2020 that will be everlasting? Now, there are a lot of different things that individuals are involved in. And at the time, they may seem very important to us and earth-shattering at times, but in the great scheme of things, and when we're gone one day, will they really matter? This is what I want you to really think about and focus with in regard to the lesson this morning. And, you know, there are any number of activities that day-to-day we must be involved in, but they really do not have enduring, lasting quality. You know, I began to think about, as I was working on this lesson, the various mundane things that we are involved with as human beings from day to day. And I think about things even like laundry. You know, my wife doesn't really like me to do the laundry. I have done some, but she does it very well. But I think about how many loads of laundry will you do in a year? And, you know, certainly it's something that must be done. But in the great scheme, is that going to be enduring? Is it going to be something that lasts, something you remember? Or what about meals that are cooked? Think of all of the meals that were cooked and eaten in 2019. And obviously we wouldn't be here if we hadn't eaten those meals. We understand that this is part of day-to-day life, and yet it takes up a lot of our time and effort, and it cares for the body. But even the body will not endure. Not for a very long time. And think about all of that, or things like cleaning the house. How many times did you clean the house? Does it need it again? And you can get it spotless, but then how long is it before you turn around and it needs to be done again? And then in the great scheme of things, again, in eternity, how well or how much will this matter? You know, even things like haircuts. How many times did we get a haircut in the year? But you know what? It just grows back, doesn't it? And it needs to be done again and again and again. And then when we die, really won't matter. Things like yard work. You know, we get the yard done and looking good. And then how long before it must be done again? All of these things are just mundane tasks that occupy a lot of our time and our effort. But we're not going to be remembered for that in the great scheme. And it's not really going to matter when it comes to eternity in regard to things like this. I want to think with you about the nature of earthly things, material things, for a moment. And the idea of the earth itself and its kingdoms that will come and go. And eventually the earth itself is going to pass away. And this is what we really need to focus on and understand, that when it comes to the things of this world, they will pass away. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. He said, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away." We've been singing again about that thought. The heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. All of these elements that we stand on, that we live on, that are a part of this earthly world, will melt with fervent heat. And he said, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. What will endure? Not this world. Not the world that we've already always known. And that's kind of deceptive, I think, in a way to us, simply because we've known it our whole life. We were born into this world, and we likely will die before all of this takes place. And yet the world itself, the mountains, the earth, will not endure. It will, in fact, pass away, along with all of the kingdoms of the earth. Psalm 145 says in verse 13, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom." What will endure? What is everlasting? This kingdom, the church, the body of Christ, will endure. It's going to outlast the mountains. It's going to outlast the world itself. It's already outlasted kingdoms like Rome and earthly governments that even were persecuting the church. You look at the beginning of the book of Revelation, it looks like the church will be wiped out and destroyed by the Roman Empire. But Rome is long gone. The kingdom endures, and it will continue to endure. The message in the book of Daniel is that this kingdom was cut out of a mountain without hands. It was made by God, and it will break in pieces all of these earthly kingdoms, and it will endure. It will survive. His kingdom is everlasting. Your dominion endures throughout all generations. But you know what? One day there will be no United States of America. There will be no Great Britain. There will be no other kingdoms of this earth. They come and go, and we can see that in the history of man. And all earthly kingdoms, one by one, will pass away. There's a song that said the kingdoms of earth pass away one by one. But the kingdom of heaven remains. So it's enduring, it's everlasting, but unlike any other kingdom in this world. You know, even earthly houses will not endure. Now again, there are some very fine places to live in this world, and they look like they're going to last a long time, and some of them will last a long time, but they're not eternal. Not a one of them. In 1 Kings 11 and verse 38, he says, "Then it shall be, if you heed all that I command you, walk in my ways, and do what is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build for you an enduring house, as I built for David and will give Israel to you." God here talks to Jeroboam about an enduring house, compared to one, obviously, that will not endure. Again, all of our earthly houses are made by man. They will not endure. They will one day, along with the earth itself, pass away. And we see evidence of that all of the time. You know, there are those that will live for many years, and they go back to look at maybe for the house where they were born, sometimes it's there, sometimes not, sometimes they will pass away even in our own lifetime, much less in generations to come. You know, even eventually, our earthly bodies, as we've already sung, and actually as we read about in 2 Peter, or 1 Peter chapter 1 there, when he talks about, in verse 24, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls away. Our earthly bodies will pass away and decay, but the word of the Lord again endures forever. And then if you turn over to what Paul told us about our earthly bodies, look at 2 Corinthians there in chapter 5 and verse 1. He said, "For we know that if our earthly house..." Here he's comparing the body to a house that the Spirit lives in. "We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands," what? "Eternal in the heavens. You are enduring, but only half of you is enduring. The house that you're living in, the physical body, is not enduring. It will pass away. But inside that house resides an eternal home, house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven." Notice again that same figure, "not made with hands." Meaning what's made with hands isn't enduring. What's made by man doesn't endure. What's made by God will endure. That's made to be eternal. The Spirit made in His own image. The kingdom made by God, not by man, will endure. Verse 2, "For in this," meaning in this body, in this earthly house, "we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee." And then when we go back to the book of Ecclesiastes, if you'll read with me there, he talks about the same concept of what will happen between the body and the spirit. There in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes in verse 6. "Remember your Creator," he said, "before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well." In this very graphic description, he's talking about what happens to the body over time and how it grows old and decays and eventually will pass away. And verse 7 says, "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was." Your body is made up of basic elements of this world, formed and fashioned by God into a physical dwelling or habitation. But it's going to fall apart. It will dissolve. It will go back to the basic elements from which it was made. But then what happens to the part that's eternal that lives in it? The Spirit will return to God who gave it. Spirit goes on. Earthly bodies will not endure. So let's think about some enduring things. Let's think about some things that I can do in 2020 that will matter, that will endure. I suggest to you, number one, taking time to teach your children the Word of God and help instill faith in their hearts, the principles of the Word of God, and helping them to develop faith in God is one of the most enduring things that you can do for your family and for your children. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, and reading there in verse 20, he said, "I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end will be. For they are a perverse generation, children in whom is no faith." You know, one of the saddest things you can see are children that are not raised to know about God or to know the Word of God, or they never develop faith. Their life is so different from those that develop a knowledge of God and have genuine, real faith in God to guide and to direct them and to lead them literally from this earth to heaven. But it's our responsibility And especially fathers, God places the responsibility squarely on us to train or raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Let me assure you that any time you take to do that in this coming year will not be wasted time. It will endure. It will bear fruit in the lives of those children from now on through eternity, we hope and pray. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, he said, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Remember, we already read from 1 Peter how the word of the Lord endures. Like the eternal kingdom, God's word is eternal. God's word will be there on the day of judgment. And whether we know it or not, our lives and the lives of our children will be judged by the principles that are found in that word. That's why we need to be using our time and effort to teach and to train them about God's word. And we already talked about how many meals and how much time we spend preparing meals for our children and our families. That's an important thing for day-to-day life. Nobody likes to see any child or ourselves go hungry or in need. And so the body, I'm not saying that this is a bad thing. It's a part of everyday normal life. But that shouldn't be the reason why we're living. We eat to live, not live to eat. But we should live to fill our souls on the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And if you're feeding your children's souls with the Word of God, you're giving them something that will endure long after you're gone and they're gone. That's a very, very important thing. And one of the greatest things we can do in 2020 is save a soul. Again, ultimately, we cannot save our bodies, but we can save a soul. And we've already learned from the Word of God that there's nothing in this world that's as valuable as a soul. You take all of the world and all of its wealth combined, all of the bank accounts of all of the millionaires and billionaires in this world, and all of that combined is not worth the price of one soul. And none of it will last as long as the life of one soul. We need to save our own soul. First of all, it's in John chapter 1 and verse 46. Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." Come and see. You know, one of the things that we can do in this coming year is invite others to come and see. Learn about Jesus. And sometimes it's really just that simple. The people we work with, people that we're around, people that we know, that we come in contact with, when we have the opportunity, we have the ability to say, come and see. And it's still true that one of the biggest reasons why one will attend the services of a church is because somebody they know invited them to come. You know, something that I might do that can outlast the world itself is to invite somebody to come and see. And either have a Bible study with them, teach them about the Word of God, or help facilitate it. Help get it set up even for someone else that can teach it. It doesn't matter in the end who's doing the teaching, but if I can help lead the soul to sit and study and learn the Word of God and develop faith and save a soul, I don't know anything I can do much more enduring than that. Save my own soul by my own involvement in the body of Christ and my knowledge of the Word of God and building my faith and teaching my own children, as we have talked about, to help them develop faith. All of that, again, is very important things that I can be occupied with in this coming year. Teaching a Bible class, even of little children, helping to instill faith in their hearts and leading them. You know, I still think back to the many Bible classes that I was able to attend as a child and how much I gained from the Word of God and knowledge and understanding of that, and that it's provided a spiritual foundation for my life through many, many years now. And I believe will be part of the foundation to lead me hopefully to an eternal home in heaven. Never underestimate what good is done by simple things like that, or encouraging a weak brother or sister in the faith. There's not a one of us that do not know some that should be here, some that should be worshiping with us and serving God, that have grown weak and fallen away. What happens if in 2020 I contact them, I invite them, and they come back and they're restored and they start becoming faithful again, and maybe I can help save their soul? That could endure. That could be something very, very valuable. We're taught in James 5 and verse 20, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will what? Save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And when I start thinking about that, this is a soul headed for death, this is a soul headed for separation from God, what can I do to help turn them around? What can I do to help bring them back, to snatch that soul away from death and destruction? If I can accomplish that, it would be a very enduring thing, hopefully, in 2020. What more could we do for one than to give them what will be enduring and everlasting, to help them go to heaven when they die? But now let's think about something else. What about your investments for 2020? And I'm not talking about your 401k. Again, that's a normal, everyday part of life. And once again, what does all of our earthly riches do? It takes care of our earthly bodies, doesn't it? For a while. But eventually, the day we die, and as we've already talked about the fact that one day we're going to die, and the day we die, my riches are already gone. They may be around, somebody else may have them, somebody else may be spending them, but the moment I die, my earthly possessions are no longer mine. Naked we came into this world, naked shall we return. We will leave it all behind. So yes, they have a place and an importance for a while, but eventually they will mean nothing. They will not endure. But there are things that I can invest in that will endure. I need to be investing in heaven. And it starts by taking time for my soul and thinking more about the spiritual man than just focusing on the physical man. How much time did we waste in 2019 that will not bring us any benefit, that really will not endure in the long run? Now, we talked recently about the need for rest and recreation, that again, it's a regular part of life, and even Jesus himself told his disciples, come apart and rest for a while. And the Lord set up the Sabbath day in the beginning for even a part of the Ten Commandments, that on the seventh day they would rest. But that came after 6 days of labor, where God sets the precedent of work and then rest, and rest for a while, but then it's time for work again. And so again, we can get that out of balance, as we recently also talked about, to where we focus too much on the rest and not enough on the work. And we can focus too much on things that will not endure as opposed to things that will endure. And so we need to spend plenty of time investing in our own soul. We need to spend time investing in our own personal spiritual growth. That comes through things like study of God's Word. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do I need to spend more time in God's Word, focusing on things that will endure, things that truly matter, things that can save a soul? We think about this compared to, and this would really date me, but I'd say compared to reading the newspaper. That's truly a baby boomer kind of thing. Becoming more and more out of date. But whether it's that or whether it's reading the news online or whatever it may be, what do I get out of reading the newspaper? Usually depressed. But the idea is, again, it's not wrong to read secular things. It's not wrong to read a novel. It's not wrong to watch a television program, depending on what it is that you're watching. But what do I get out of it? Is it going to endure? Will it help me in eternity compared to the time that I'm spending in God's Word? And then not only that, but the idea of praying. How much time do I spend in prayer? You know, both of these activities are investments in my soul, where I gain knowledge of the God, of the Word of God, and then I'm able to communicate with God and develop that relationship with Him. You know, we are supposedly working to go to heaven to live with God forever. If I don't have the desire to even pray or talk to God, what does that say about the strength of my relationship? What else can you do that will literally take you now to the throne of God? I want you to think about that. You can write a letter to your senator. You can write a letter to the President of the United States. But that will not have the enduring effect that a prayer that goes up to the throne of God will have. And that's what we as God's children are privileged to be able to do. Think about that. James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When we think about things that endure, what you can do in praying for others, and not just their physical health. You know, it's good and it's right that we pray for physical health, but eventually, no matter what, these bodies, again, we've already seen, are going to pass away. What about praying for their soul? What about praying for salvation? What about praying for their strength and their faith and encouraging and admonishing one another? These are things, again, that will endure. This is investing in eternity. In Revelation 8 and verse 4, he says, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God. Does it come into your thinking and your mind that when you pray, you come up right before God, in the presence of God? And then just the time that we spend meditating, we've talked some about recently. How much time do we just unplug from everything earthly and material? And then after we've studied the Word of God, and after we have prayed to God, to sit back and take it all in. Let it sink in. Let it become a part of me. Again, many of us find ways to truly waste time in so many ways, meditating even on past mistakes. If I've already corrected and worked on that, you know, Paul didn't allow himself to go back and wallow in what he had done. He never forgot it, but he forgot the past after it had been forgiven. And he didn't meditate on things others had done to him. You know, we can spend all of our time sitting around thinking about what people have done to us and keeping a list and trying to get even. And that's a total waste of our time. And something we should not use our minds for. None of these things endure. They're not helpful to the future. But the time spent meditating on the Word of God is investing in heaven. It's investing in my eternal future. Never, never a waste of my time. Psalm 1 and verse 1 talks about, again, how that the man of God who focuses not on the bad advice that's found in the world, but his meditation is on God, it compares his life to a very fruitful tree by the waters of life. Notice in verse 1 of Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't listen to the bad advice of the sinful, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. There's the recipe for a great life. Invest in heaven. Spend less time wasting it on things of this world and more time investing in eternal things. Not only is it when it comes to our prayer and Bible study and spiritual meditation, but also when it comes to our giving financially to the work of the Lord. Now think about all of the things in the world that you spent your money for in 2019. It'd be interesting just to have a categorized list of everything that we spend our money on. And once again, I know there are so many things that the flesh and the physical life requires, and that's just a reality. But in the end, so much of that will not endure. But it doesn't have to be that way in everything. Money for physical food, clothing and shelter and all of that, these things are necessary, but they're just not lasting because, again, all the meals that we had in 2019, we're going to need more in 2020 and as long as we live in this world. And then eventually, we're still going to die. What about comparing this to the money that I give to the work of the Lord that helps the gospel to be taught, strengthens the faith of Christians, and works to convert those who are lost? That's investing in heaven. That's heavenly investments. The kingdom of God is eternal. It's going to outlast every earthly kingdom, remember. And not only that, but the money that I give to support it then will have everlasting and eternal benefits. How will one feel about you when you, on the day of judgment, know you're standing there together before the Son of God and you know you had a part in leading that person to know and obey the truth and develop faith and they became a Christian in part because of the actions of you? How will you feel on that moment? How will they feel? How will you feel about the one that helped you develop faith? If you get to the day of judgment and you hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I think this is exactly what Paul was expressing in 1 Thessalonians 2:19 when he said, "What is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" Think about that. You know, think about everything in a lifetime you spend your money for, and then knowing that you've given money to the Lord to do the work of the Lord and it's helped lead souls to Christ, will that not be far more enduring than anything else? When we put off this earthly body, as again we've already noted, one day we will, what will it matter then about any earthly house? What will it matter then about what any automobile I may have owned, whatever was in my 401k, or any other material possession that we have spent our money on? All that will matter then will be what have we laid up as treasure in heaven. And the only way we can lay up treasure in heaven is investing in the kingdom of God. We can't carry it with us, but we can send it on in heavenly investments while we live in this world. God has given us some fantastic, great enduring blessings. He gives us spiritual strength. It's in Isaiah 26, he says in verse 4, "Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength." Every day that we live, we get a little weaker physically. We begin to lose physical strength, but we can have everlasting strength in God. He offers us that. Compare this to putting your confidence in something earthly, non-enduring. And not only will He give us strength, but He gives us a foundation that is sure and that will last throughout our life. Not just our physical life, but eternal life. Proverbs 10 says in verse 25, "When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more." You know, those that don't invest in heaven, never develop faith, have no interest in God, eventually will be no more. They will pass away. They'll lose their physical life, and then they will be separated from God eternally. But the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Everyone wants a good, solid foundation to build their life on. We get that through God. It is enduring and everlasting. We're told in Matthew 7, 24 through 27 about the foolish man that built his house on the sand. What's he doing? He's building his house on things that will not endure. Everything to do with this life and this body and this world and this physical investments. And it's like he's building them on sand. They're going to pass away, all of them, one day. But then we have a rock that we can build on. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that gave His life for us. And that will endure. That will last. That can take all of the storms of life and everything that we face and will not pass away in time of trial and loss. If you should endure or face a devastating illness in 2020, can your foundation survive it? If you should suffer severe financial loss in 2020, will your foundation be lost? And if you lose a loved one in 2020, do you have a spiritual rock to lean on? What is the foundation of your life? Not only does He offer us strength and foundation, but He finally offers us an eternal inheritance in heaven itself. 1 Peter chapter 1 says in verse 4, "To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away." This inheritance will endure long beyond any physical inheritance. It does not fade away. It is reserved in heaven for you. "But Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation," Isaiah says. Everlasting salvation. "You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever." What can you inherit from an earthly source that is truly enduring? I don't care what family heirloom it is, or any amount of money, or houses, or whatever, what will you inherit from an earthly standpoint that you will not also then turn around and leave behind someday? God's inheritance will endure. It is forever and ever. In the book of Hebrews 10, he says in verse 34, "For you had compassion on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven." Now I raise the question, do you have that inheritance? Are you His child? Will this one day be your inheritance? And I end as I began then. What did you do in 2019 that now is gone that will endure? And furthermore, what will you do in 2020 that will endure? As we think about the past, we can't go back and undo it. But as the Lord gives it to us, 2020 lies ahead of us. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." And that's where we are. Are you ready to become a child of God this morning, to obey the gospel? Or if you, as a child of God, have gotten off track and you know there are things in your life that are not right, you need to correct them, I can't think of a better time than to start this morning. Start where you are, be restored, strengthen your faith, and invest in things that will endure. If you need the prayers of the saints or you want to obey the gospel this morning, we hope that you'll come while we stand and sing to encourage you.